Now, though, as the big cleanup continues in Queensland, both in the north and in the southeast following the floods, residents, SES and the army are all involved, doing their bit to bring the affected towns and suburbs back to normal. There are dangers lurking, though. Many of the houses damaged and destroyed contained asbestos. Up until the mid-80s, asbestos was a very popular building material in Queensland and beyond, and asbestos is not the only hazard. Jim Carmichael is a Senior Director with Workplace Health and Safety Queensland. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
You've got real concerns about the clean-up and asbestos in particular. What's your major concern?
There's a range of health and safety issues, Fran, around Queensland at the moment after the floods and the storms up north, and one of them is working around asbestos-containing materials, but there are a range of other risks as well.
Was asbestos mainly in the form of sort of fibro sheeting? Is it a common building material in Queensland in these areas that have been hit by floods and cyclones?
Well, it is, Fran, and the advice that we usually give out is that if your house was built prior to the mid-1980s, it's highly likely to contain asbestos. If it was built between the mid-80s and 1990, it may contain asbestos. And if it was built after 1990, it's highly unlikely to contain any asbestos.
And for people trying to get their head around this and to know what to look out for, if their house has been damaged and it did have asbestos sheeting in it, does that necessarily mean they need to get people qualified in cleaning up asbestos in to help, or what do they need to look for?
The key, Fran, when we're dealing with asbestos-containing material is to avoid the release of any fibres into the air wherever mm-hmm. possible. So if the fibro sheeting has not been damaged, just leave it alone, leave it where it is. It's only where it's damaged that we should even be thinking about working around it or touching it. First thing to do would be to seek advice regarding what to do with respect to damaged material. If it's large amounts, well, then you're right, you would need a licensed asbestos removalist to assist with that. And that's usually for amounts of over 10 square metres.
Okay, but just on the face of it, say a tree has come down and fallen through your fibro wall, your inside wall was made of fibro, or your outside wall was made of fibro, is that necessarily dangerous? And what can you do in the short term, in the immediate, to ameliorate the dangers?
Well, the first thing to do is, if you suspect that it is asbestos-containing material, to keep it damp. And if it's a small amount of material, say a wall, an internal wall, well, then it can be removed. If it's a larger amount, you would need to call in a licensed contractor. But there are some rules around which people need to be aware of when mm-hmm. dealing with this, and those rules are avoid breaking it up any further, avoid using power tools to cut or drill, and avoid abrading the surface.
So now no cutting, no drilling, no sanding, no sawing.
Particularly if the surfaces are dry, so no dry sanding, for example. Remember, the key is to avoid the release of fibres into the air. If there's no fibres in the air, there's absolutely no risk to health and mm-hmm. safety. Another hint is not to use any high-pressure water to clean. That's been an issue down in southeast Queensland with the floods. We've been very clear in our messages to people to not to use high-pressure water on asbestos cement roofs. Be aware of brittle roofs as well. Up in the north around the storm areas, there may be some walls and roofs collapsed. We need to advise people that when they're climbing and scrambling up over roofs, that those roofs can be brittle. And mm-hmm. We obviously don't want to have people falling through and those who have come through the storm hunky-dory to actually injure themselves post-storm.
Yeah, because asbestos or no asbestos, these can be dangerous places, and I see on the news a lot of people wielding chainsaws. I mean, there are a lot of dangers out there, aren't there?
Absolutely, Fran. Obviously, the one with chainsaws is an obvious one. People scrambling over roofs, working at heights. Another one that people and workers and residents need to be aware of is working around mobile plant. There's going to be a lot of bobcats, a lot of load shifting equipment out there. We need to ensure that people stay steer clear away from those, that there are designated working areas, lifting and materials handling, so we don't want to ruin our backs as a result of moving these materials around. Electrical safety is another significant issue as well, and there'll be a lot of people up north who will be wanting to be connecting their houses up to generators. They need to seek the advice of electrical contractors before they do that. They need to be aware of the use of generators in confined spaces.
That's problem number one, isn't it? Because there will be a shortage of experienced people around.
That's right. And we're working with, in terms of making people aware of how they can contact these licensed electrical workers and also licensed asbestos removalists. We've set up a workplace health and safety flood and cyclone helpline, which can actually point people in the right direction about providers of those sorts of services.
Do you have that number to hand, Jim?
I do, Fran. It's 1800 177 717.
And what about a website?
We have a website. It's worksafe.qld.gov.au.
Okay, and people should ring that number or go to that site to get advice on who to contact and how to get in contact or how to manage some of these potential threats.
Absolutely. They're available 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you, Fran.
Jim Carmichael is a Senior Director with Workplace Health and Safety Queensland. That helpline again is 1800 177 717, and we'll put the website and that phone number up on our website, abc.net.au/rn/breakfast.